produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Well, hallelujah, praise the Lord. What another great, great opportunity again to be able to share the Word of God. And I'm so grateful to be alive in this time. And you should be too, wherever you are. We are going through tremendous challenges, especially here in South Africa, where the Delta variant, COVID-19 Delta variant has really been having a very negative effect in South Africa. And in this winter time, the increase in the numbers of deaths has gone up. So we remain prayerful and we remain lifting up every family, every household that has lost loved ones or are sick, and those who are in hospital. The hospitals in South Africa are full. ICU is also full. So we remain prayerful, trusting God that God will do something, and trusting for His supernatural hand of intervention. So let's just continue to remain in that prayer mode. And whatever nation you may be in, we also praying for you in that nation, that God will miraculously intervene and bring a change in the nations around the world. So we just bless you. Give God glory for your life. Celebrate the life and celebrate every moment of living, and make sure that you use every moment up usefully. Don't spend it criticizing, complaining, crying, but spend it in a time where you just be thanking God, being grateful for life, praying for others, and purposing to fulfill kingdom mandate. We bless God and give Him glory, honor, and praise. So this week, in terms of our sharing, I was doing a Bible study the other day. And as I was doing a Bible study and preparing also for another teaching, I went to the account where Yeshua was actually tempted, to actually drawn in by the Holy Spirit and tempted in three areas. And I wanted to talk to us about that account. And, if we read that account, we find out that actually it's the Holy Spirit who drew Yeshua in to be tempted by the devil himself. So we need to understand that Holy Spirit can bring us to a place where we can be tempted. And it's so that our character can be grown. We are to be tempted so that we can ensure that we pass those temptations and we are ready to be that vessel and that servant, that service and servant unto God. So Holy Spirit himself can bring us into a place of temptation just so that we can be properly prepared to pass every temptation and to pass every test. And I want to talk to us about the three areas in which Yeshua himself was tempted, because one of the things I found out is if the enemy, number one, can tempt Yeshua, trust me, you can guarantee that if he was bold enough to test and tempt Yeshua, he will definitely be bold enough to tempt and test us all in our lives. He will not stop. He will perpetually be trying, pushing boundaries, pushing borders, trying to find that one loophole where he can tempt us and derail us, try to take us off our path, try to make us backslide, try to get us to get focus off of our kingdom purpose. He will perpetually be pushing that button, and looking for a way in. And there are three primary areas, like I've said, that the enemy, that the enemy tried to tempt Yeshua. And so first, like I said, we need to know that this enemy will always, throughout your life, 24/7, that's what he does. It says that he stands there, you know, trying to accuse the brethren. That's his day and night job, 24/7. And that's what he's always going to be doing, trying to look for a loophole at which he can accuse you and I. He will always be doing that. So settle it and make peace with it and know that this is his mandate. And make sure that you're ready. Make sure that you're alert for all those times that he will try and test you and tempt you. And make sure that you stand vigilant and alert at all times. So that's number one. Know that when, you know, if the devil could tempt and test Yeshua, he will definitely be doing it with you and I. And he will be looking for that loophole always and consistently in our lives. So we always have to work out our salvation. We always have to be alert. We always have to be vigilant, knowing that he's looking for that opportunity to try and mess us up. Second thing that's important is understanding that when Yeshua was tempted by the devil, it was actually at his physical weakest time. The Bible also tells us in this account that when he was drawn into the time of wilderness, he was on a 40-day fast. Yeshua was actually on a 40-day fast. And of course, that means that he hadn't eaten for so long. His body was weak. He was hungry. He was famished. He was not in his strongest physical moment of his life. And so that's point number two that I want us to realize in terms of being tempted by the enemy. Understand that when the enemy comes, he will not usually attack or tempt or test you at that time when you are really strong in the Lord. He will normally wait and approach and test and tempt you when he knows you are at your most physical, weakest time of your life, at a time when you are really struggling, a time maybe when you are even not just physically struggling, but struggling, excuse me, in the spiritual realm as well. So be conscious of that. Know that, you know, in your times of weaknesses, that's when you should expect a lot of attack from the enemy. And guard yourself up, gird up your loins, make sure you stand in prayer, make sure you're vigilant, make sure you meditate upon his word, make sure that you really, you know, are alert to what is happening in your life, because that's the time when Satan is most likely to approach you, when you are at your most emotionally vulnerable, maybe when you've had an important relationship that has just not worked out, or physically most vulnerable, you've had some health challenges, that's when he'll come and test you, you know, spiritually. And of course, that's why we need to stay in prayer, because that's what keeps you strong, is when you are in prayer. So you can't afford to take those days off and stop praying or stop reading the word of God, because that's what will ensure that we don't succumb to the temptation that the enemy will be trying to throw at us and hit us with in this time. So that's point number one. Like we said, know that if he tempted and tested Yeshua, definitely he will tempt and test us always consistently throughout our lives. It's something we must settle our minds with. Secondly, remember that he confronted, tested, and tried to tempt Yeshua at the time when he was physically the weakest of all. So be aware of that, that the weaker you are, guard yourself, guard your heart, guard your spirit, guard your mind, knowing that that's the time that the enemy will most likely attack, because he knows you're at your weakness. So, and the third thing I want to say around the time that Yeshua was tempted in the three areas was that the confrontation was necessary. It was a necessary confrontation. It had to happen because Yeshua had to prove who he was, his identity, and he also had to take his authority back. So this was a necessary confrontation. And we need to know that every confrontation that we have with the enemy is a necessary confrontation because it will settle identity issues. The identity of Yeshua was established in this time of testing and temptation. And every time the enemy comes to try and test and tempt us, it really speaks to our identity. Are we truly and well established in our identity as in Christ? Because when we face that confrontation, knowing that our identity is in Yeshua, and we face every test, every trial, every tribulation, knowing fully well who our authority rests in, who our identity rests in, then it is only going to prove who we are in Yeshua. And it's only going to ensure that we take any authority that the enemy is trying to take from us, we are able to take it back. So every trial, every temptation that the enemy throws at us is necessary. It's an opportunity for us to prove our identity in Yeshua, and it's an opportunity for us to take our authority back from the enemy who's trying to wrestle it away from us. So it's very, very important that we understand the confrontation was necessary. Every confrontation is necessary. But remember, it's an opportunity to establish really and truly that our identity is in Yeshua, and to establish and show the enemy that we're taking our authority, and we have taken our authority back from him, back from him. So it was a challenge that the enemy was throwing out to the devil. He was trying to challenge his authority. Listen, on the internet, on Facebook, I'm sure you and I have seen so many challenges being thrown out there. Every week there's a new challenge. There's a dance challenge. There's a food challenge. There's a TikTok challenge out there. And the devil, of course, was also trying to throw out his own challenges to Yeshua. And we're going to go through each of the challenges, because these three challenges will always be repeated in our lives at one stage or another. Here's the first challenge that the devil threw to Yeshua, and it's a challenge that he will time and time again be throwing it out to you and I, every now and then challenging us. The first challenge is what I call the hashtag identity challenge. Identity challenge. This is what the enemy said to Yeshua. He said, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, this is Jesus' response now, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. You shall not tempt the Lord your God." So the enemy was challenging the identity of Yeshua. He said, if you are the Son of God, he's trying to challenge his identity. If really and truly you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. It's an identity challenge. And that challenge is going to come to you and I every now and then. Now, Jesus understood his identity. And because he understood his identity, he refused to allow Satan to redefine him. And I want to encourage you that the enemy will try time and time again to check if you know that your identity is in Christ. Never allow Satan to challenge your identity in Christ. Never allow Satan to redefine you, to try and define you outside of who you are in Christ. In him, we live and move and have your being. Do not allow Satan to define your identity from anyone or anything other than God. Don't allow the enemy to identify your identity really in terms of your ethnicity, or, you know, in terms of your qualifications. Don't allow the enemy to allow the world to put an identity on you that God has not put on you. Your first and primary identity must always be associated with God, being a child of God, being in Him, established in Him, rooted in Him, living in Him, having His DNA in you. So that is first and foremost must be what defines you, the fact that you are a citizen of heaven, first and foremost. And that is what you must focus on. Don't allow Him to take your identity in Christ away from you. So do not allow Him to win the identity challenge over you. We must know our identity in Christ and not allow anything or anyone or any worldly standards or principles or protocols to redefine us apart from who we are in Christ Yeshua. So that's the first challenge that the enemy threw at Yeshua, the identity challenge. And he's always going to throw it at you. So remember, always know who you are in Christ and never allow Satan to redefine your identity or to win the identity challenge against you. Second challenge is what I call the hashtag authority challenge, the authority challenge. And now we're still going back to our scripture and authority challenge. It says now, this second temptation now, says again, the devil took him up, he's taking Yeshua now, took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Serve him only. So it was an authority challenge again. So the enemy was doing what? Trying to challenge the authority of Yeshua. And Yeshua knew and understood that his authority was rooted in doing only what he saw the Father do. He didn't use fleshly authority. His meat was to do the will of the Father, was to do the will of the Father, and not to be misled by the enemy, to misuse his authority, to abuse the authority that had been given him, but he was to be led by the Spirit of God. So I want to encourage you and know and understand that the enemy will always be issuing an authority challenge against you, trying to get you to mishandle the authority that God has given you in some way. Mishandle it as leaders, you know, as leaders abusing others. Authority challenge again. Understand that God has given us authority, but we must exercise that authority expediently. We must exercise the authority that God has given to us responsibly, and we must exercise it with accountability, not for wrong reasons, not for oppressing others, not for reasons of showing off, not for reasons of gathering people to us, but exercising authority that God has given us, not by abusing it anyway, but using it to build the kingdom of God. So hashtag authority challenge is very, very critical, very, very important. First challenge we mentioned, we said was the identity, hashtag identity challenge. Second challenge is the authority challenge. Make sure that your authority is rooted in doing what we see the Father doing. And we must be led by the Spirit of God in line with Romans 8:14. For as many as were led by the Spirit of God shall be called the sons of God. So let's take our authority from being led by the Spirit of God, and let's not use fleshly authority, and let's not abuse the authority that God has given us. And so the last area of challenge is the challenge dealing with our source of provision, our source of provision. So our source of provision. And then again, the third time when the enemy came to test and tempt Yeshua. Scripture says now, this is what he did. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." From the mouth of God. So here the enemy was presenting another challenge to Yeshua. And the challenge of who is the source of your provision. So he was trying to really derail Yeshua from understanding who his source was. Remember, Yeshua was hungry. He was physically weak. He was testing whether Yeshua knew his source of provision. And he comes to him to place doubt. If you are the Son of God, you command these stones. You command that they become bread. Forget about the one who's provider. You do it. You command them to be bread right now. And Yeshua did not fall for that. Did not fall for that. At any given point in our lives, throughout our lives, we will have that challenge, that temptation, that test, when the enemy will really cause you to doubt. Really, is God your Jehovah Jireh? Is God the source of our provision? Like it is even now, in this time of COVID, when so many people have lost their jobs, so many people are unemployed. This is when he will come to you and say, who's the source of your provision? Can God really provide for you in this time when jobs are not available, jobs are scarce? He will want to tempt and test your ability to have faith in the fact that God still remains Jehovah Jireh and is the source of our provision. Even in this time, I've been encouraged throughout this period. It's been, you know, almost 2 years of lockdown, and many of us have not been able to, you know, rely on the regular source of income. And I'm also one of those people whereby, because of lockdown, it's not easy really to get to rely on the normal source of provision of income. But in all of it, whether it's lockdown, whether it's famine, God still remains our source of provision. Whether we have a job, whether we are employed or not, he remains faithful. He remains constant. So don't allow the enemy to allow you to take your eye off of the source of our provision. Yeshua remains the author and the finisher of our faith, regardless of the season, regardless of the environment, regardless of the times that we live in. He is still our source. He's still our solid rock. He's still our strong tower. He's still our rock of salvation. He's still able to do exceedingly abundantly above, beyond what we can ever ask, imagine, think, or hope, or even ask. So we need to continue to look unto him. Look unto him, and trust in him and in his ability to provide for us. So it's very important that we do that. And those really are the three areas of challenges that I wanted us to go over and to remind us. And we'll just do a very quick recap. And I want you to be encouraged by this message, this teaching, that remember that Yeshua was tempted. He was tempted in three areas. He was drawn into a place of temptation by none other than Holy Spirit himself. And Yeshua was tempted, and you and I will always be tempted consistently and persistently throughout our lives. We'll be tempted, and we will always be tempted also at times when we are not maybe are physically the strongest that we are physically or emotionally or spiritually. So keep an eye out, be alert, be vigilant, and know that the time of weakness is a time that actually the enemy will come in to try and tempt you the most. Remember again that the confrontation was necessary. It was necessary so that Yeshua could prove his identity, who he was. And every confrontation, we need to know that it's an opportunity to prove our identity in Yeshua, in whose child we are, and to take our authority back from the enemy. And also the identity challenge, we're going to win that identity challenge. Make sure that we understand our identity and refuse to allow Satan to redefine who we are. Refuse to allow Satan to redefine our identity outside of anything or anyone other than God. Know our identity in Christ. Don't allow anything to redefine us apart from who we are in Him. Authority challenge again. Don't allow the enemy to take your authority away. Yeshua understood his authority was in doing what he saw the Father do, and did not use or abuse any fleshly authority. So making sure that we use that authority in line with the kingdom mandate and in obedience with the word of God. And lastly, the aspect of the challenge of knowing who our source of provision is. Yeshua remains our source regardless of the time that we are in. He is still our source. So God richly bless you. I hope you've enjoyed this teaching. And remember that we will always be tested. Prepare your hearts. Be ready. Stand strong. Put on the armor of God. Refuse to be intimidated by the enemy. Resist the devil. He will flee from us. And let him know that you know your authority, you know your identity, and you know your source, and that he cannot intimidate you, and that God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and of sound mind. Oh, God richly bless you. I love you with the love of the Lord, in the matchless name of our Lord and our Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Shimikotu Ministries Radio Network, this is the voice of Apostle Josh Moyo, bringing you across all the way from Western Australia. Something that I believe is meant to be helpful over your life. I wrote a statement this morning in my notes, and two paramount scriptures I want to bring across to us on our program. Don't miss it. First scripture will be Genesis chapter 4, which is the book of beginnings. Second scripture will be Revelation chapter 3. The book of Genesis is the first book of the Bible, of the 66 of the canon of the scriptures. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. I'm going to use the beginning and the end. Let's see what the book of Genesis chapter 4 records. The story that we will be familiar with is dealing with two brothers that have given their sacrifices before God. And we already know that the Bible will record Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. From verse 3 of the book of Genesis chapter 4, it says, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. I wanted to watch something that is happening from verse 3. In the process of time, came to pass, Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Watch the difference. Abel brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their flock. A lot of debate goes on around why God preferred Abel's offering over Cain's, his brother. It's simple. If we allow scriptures to speak for themselves, we will not go and engage ourselves in funny theological debate. Watch. Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. But Abel brought of the firstborn of his flock and their fat. What's the difference? What is king in your life will reign your day. Whatever is king, whatever is supreme, whatever is first in your life will determine the success or the failure of that day. What's first in your life? What's priority? What's number one? What's of great essence? What is the first in your life? First things I do when I wake up in the morning is to engage with the Holy Spirit. Because, ladies and gentlemen, what's first in your life will determine the rest of the day. First thing in the morning, I engage fellowship with the Holy Spirit before I look at my bills, before I order my day, what are things that I've scheduled, what are things that have been marked for the day, what's on my diary. My first diary does not begin until I honor what's first. Could it be the reason why you live a life of anxiety, a life of depression, a life of fear, phobia, disappointment, disillusionment, stuff that you go through in life? Question. Who is first? What is first? What place does it take in your day? David. I love David. Right of the Psalms, part of the Psalms. He says, early in the morning, oh, I love it, will I seek you? Why early in the morning? You have 1,500 neurotransmitters coming out of your brain that clean your yesterday, introduce you to the beginning of a new day. What is first in your life? 6:33, the book of Matthew, the Bible declares, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Ah, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Cain is a picture. Represents many overwhelming Christians who are seeking the kingdom of God, but not first. What's the difference? What of a highest priority runs my day? What's number one on my agenda is deemed important by every cell of the body. Who is first? Who is number one? Scripture. Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to God. He did not bring the first offering. Before God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added to you. Ladies and gentlemen, my dear listeners, Shimikotu Ministries Radio Network and the voice of Apostle Josh Moyer with our co-producer, Kayla Paget, as we bring you the voice of destiny. Text. Genesis chapter 4. This is the first worship service. It was conducted in the book of Genesis, sons of Adam and Eve. They are bringing their worship extravaganza before God. One brings an offering from the ground. One, on the other hand, brings the first. Of the flock of his sheep. Ah, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Who is first? What is first in your life? The Bible says, the firstborn of the flock of Abel and their fat, the Lord respected Abel and his offering. He did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry. We have established, those who have attended anger management, the ladder of anger management states that anger becomes a very necessary emotion that we all have to be victim of from time to time. The problem is not with anger, but how to harness this strong emotion called anger. Cain was very angry. I love it. And so angry, his face, his body showed. Anger has got levels, friends. Listen. Listen to that verse, verse 5 there. When his offering was not respected by God, he got angry. You always know anger is now king in control by what it does to your body. I've seen people die buried because on their sickbed they would not forgive the abuse, the trauma, how they were treated, an issue of years traumatizing them and keeping them in bondage. Who is king in your life? Watch. The Bible says, so angry that his body shone. His countenance, his face, his facial. Stop! Don't talk to me. Shone. That's something to grapple with as we talk, ladies and gentlemen. What shows when that negative emotion is at play? Yes, I know you're disappointed, but don't allow your body to express that emotion. It will destroy you. Yes, I know you're disappointed. Yes, I know you're disillusioned. Yes, I know your life is shattered. Your dreams are gone. When your body, when your flesh becomes the receiving end of the toxicity of emotions that have gone negative, that have ill-treated, mistreated you, when the emotions speak and express themselves to your flesh, that's a recipe for disaster. That's a recipe for disease. Because your body was created by God to collaborate with your soul that is in sanctification, collaborate with your spirit, which is the vehicle through which God only can speak to you. But when the devil uses your body, your flesh, to express a negative emotion and allow it to stay, there is danger there. We know that for true because the body will always express what it has already been given by the mind. That's why they say, you think it, then you feel it. It's not the other way around. You don't feel it first, and then think it later. It's your thoughts, then it's your feelings, then it's your habits, attitude. Then it's your beliefs. Forming your character. Thoughts. Feelings. You believe it. Habit. habit, behavior. Behavior, then character. First pair in church, first congregation. There are only two members. In the presentation of the worship service, nothing was wrong with the offering that God gave. As nothing was wrong with what was given and presented. But the main thing that became an issue why should I be when I am supposed to be first? When you is on the throne, he is not on the throne. Now listen to the next verse, verse 6. So the Lord say to Cain, my man, why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? Watch. If you do well, will you not be accepted? If I do well, I'll be accepted. Thank you, Lord. If I save you from my heart, I'll be accepted. If I thank you with all my being, I'll be accepted. If I do well, if I pray well, to be accepted. If I take notes in my prayer life, if I take God saying wait sometimes in my life, if I take God saying yes in my life, if I do well, I will be accepted. God goes on to say, and if you do not do well, what? Sin lies at the door. Sin lies at the door. Wanted to underline that, mark that. If I do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire at the door. The desire of sin at the door is to rule or to enter inside. For its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. I find it interesting. Evil, sin, pain, negative behavior, negative attitude. Don't jump from one species to one species. The genome of the virus called sin does not jump from one species to the other. But it lies at the door. Its desire is for you. If you do not sanitize your hands and your heart, its desire is to rule over you. We don't put on the mask to be quick to hear and slow to speak. The desire is for it to have you. Oh, Lord Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to pick up this subject of Cain and Abel. But I want to conclude by giving you a tester to this, because the Bible also says, very, very interesting, Bible says, Book of Revelation. Book of Revelation becomes the last book of the Bible. And it says, and watch. Behold, I stand at the door knocking. If anyone hears my voice, opens the door, I will come into him, dine with him, he with me. Behold, I stand at the door, knock. Anyone hears my voice, opens the door, I'll come into him, dine with him. Ladies and gentlemen of Shimikoti Ministries Radio Network and with our co-producer, Kayla Paget, I want to stop here with my presentation of understanding two characters all stand at the door, which means at least now I know sin does not push itself, throw itself on top of me without my permission. That's good. Jesus does not push himself, does not coerce me, does not seduce me, does not push me to enter into my heart. Both of them are gentle. Other one for evil and the other one for good. Jesus stands at the door knocking for fellowship. The devil knocks at the door, lies at the door. Lies at the door. He's not standing at the door. He's lying at the door to sneak in. Shimikoti Ministries Radio Network. This is the voice of Apostle Josh Moyo from Western Australia. Join us next week as I take you deeper so that you understand. Christians often ask me, can believer be demonized? And we'll talk about that. God bless you.
Produced by Kayla Paget on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. toll-free international callers 1-888-201-5313.